This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, and on today's show, I'll be joined by Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle to recap the Warriors' preseason loss to the Kings on Tuesday. We're going to discuss Golden State's three-point shooting and questions about the center rotation going forward. It's coming up next.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we're recording at midnight from an undisclosed location in Sacramento. We just got done covering our first road game of the season, Connor. That'd be our last road game of the season together. I don't know how all this is going to work. It's a Warriors loss to the Kings, but the results in these preseason games don't really
matter. We're feeling really nostalgic right
now. We are.
Because as you probably know, as a listener of the podcast, Wes and I are good friends. And obviously traveled all together last season and had a lot of good times. And this season, unfortunately, given the state of affairs with COVID, we're not really going to be traveling at all outside of maybe the occasional SAC trip. And so this might be the closest we come to the real travel life. So we're trying to enjoy it as much as possible.
And in that enjoying that, I brought a bottle of bourbon up to Sacramento. Yeah, I got Angel's Envy. A sherry cask bourbon, which is really nice. So found the ice machine. Not really a machine. I didn't even tell you this. But it was a instead of the actual ice machine that you usually find at a hotel, it was a freezer that had just bags of ice already done in it. So I think –
wow.
I don't see why
that's
they wouldn't just –
friendly.
It is. I don't know why they just want to do that going forward. So we'll be we're having a much-needed drink at the end of this game because it was – pretty in the sense that Steph Curry got going, right? 29 points tonight, a good showing from him, but it wasn't pretty in that several others played for the Warriors and none of them played particularly well.
Yeah, it was definitely a Steph show and then a bunch of spare parts, which is going to be kind of a theme going forward this season. We all know what Steph can do. We know what he's capable of. He seems to be in great shape. He seems to be in peak form, which really bodes well for the season he could have. But there's so many new parts, and a couple of those new parts in Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre need to come in and be the legitimate number two, number three options. And, you know, those are both guys that have been inconsistent at times in their career, and there could be nights where both of them are struggling, which was the case tonight. Can those other guys, can the guys like Kent Bazemore, Jordan Poole, can those lesser-known guys step up? Tonight was a little unique in that Draymond and James Wiseman and Eric Paschal were all out. And those are all guys that can help from time to time offensively. But even with those guys out, you need some of those more complimentary pieces to step up. And outside of Marquese Chris, none of them really did.
Yeah, Marquese Chris, 17 points. 3 of 4 shooting from three-point range. You love to see that. We'll talk about that a little bit later, specifically with what the centers are going to be doing. But I thought tonight we saw the other side of guys like Andrew Wiggins and Kent Bazemore, right? Where in that first game against Denver, I thought both of them played pretty well. Wiggins on the defensive end, I thought, had a nice night against the Nuggets. Not so much against the Kings. I thought this was kind of the floating Andrew Wiggins, that reputation that he earned in Minnesota. We kind of saw that happen today. And then with Bazemore, we kind of saw why this guy is not a long-term starter in the NBA, right? He had that nice performance against Denver, and then tonight, 3 of 8, 1 for 6 from three-point range, just 7 points. He got 5 rebounds, but that's just not enough, right? If this is the guy that you're gonna basically say, hey, you're our sixth man, it wasn't quite enough. And then the starting lineup, you mentioned Eric Paschal being out. I thought that had a lot to do with how kind of wonky this game was early on, because you start Juan Toscano-Anderson there at power forward, I guess nominally, but I thought defensively this team was just so undersized against Sacramento because Kevon Looney's already given up a lot of size there at center. Toscano Anderson, 6'6".
He's really a small forward.
Yeah, and like Sacramento had more, like Toscano Anderson was guarding Marvin Bagley to start this game. And they have Rashawn Holmes who just punished Kevon Looney. I didn't think this was a strong game from Looney at all. And I we were all pleasantly surprised with Looney's performance in Denver. So again, against Denver, I thought the role players played well and Steph didn't really get going. And then tonight Steph got going and the role players just weren't there for support.
Yeah. And to Juan Toscano Anderson, not to go on a tangent here, but this was a big opportunity for him getting in the starting lineup. This is a guy who's very much vying for a 15-man roster spot, maybe even a two-way contract, and he needed to show something.
He didn't. He didn't take his first shot until less than a minute left in the first half.
Didn't show anything. Yeah. He shot twice all game, and he was 0-for-2 from the field. And then defensively, I thought he was overmatched at times against Bagley. I hate to say it, but he to me is a good G League player who can be a solid rotation guy on a second tier overseas team. I don't even think he's like a stud guy on a EuroLeague team. He's to me he's like the first division in Spain maybe. Yeah.
There was a lot of Alfonso McKinney to his game where he just sort of doesn't make an impact. He's there. He's got a big body. He can play a couple positions for you. He'll get you some rebounds. That's about it. I made that comparison late last year. I wondered, like, is this just another Alfonso McKinney situation where he's well liked in the locker room, well liked by the organization, and but just really can't do all that much to make an impact. And you're absolutely right. This was his night. This was the night.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr went so far as before the game, when he was asked what the starting lineup would be without Pascal, he's like, I haven't even told the player yet, so I'm not going to tell you guys. You guys being the media yet. And so you kind of got the sense that this was going to be something special for Juan.
Yeah.
And he didn't really make the most of it. Fortunately for him, the guys that he's competing with for this final two-way spot, which ostensibly that's what he's competing for, they didn't do much of anything either. I mean, Dwayne Sutton had the dunk at the end of the fourth in the fourth quarter, but those were the only points he scored. These other guys, Wesson, Axel Toupain, which is a killer name.
Yeah.
But he did zero things.
Like, yeah. He's not an NBA player.
No, Wesson took a three-pointer from like the top of the key or beyond the arc in the first half, and I was like, that's interesting. He missed it, but that was interesting as a big man.
And we're not including Michael Mulder in this, because I think we're both in agreement that he's probably going to make the 15-man roster.
Yeah.
I think he deserves to. Mm-hmm. And unlike Juan, he's really seized his opportunity. He was very impressive in the preseason opener. He had some moments tonight. I don't think shot as well, but he had a couple good moments. And then defensively has been solid all the way around. To me, the front runner for that two-way, if you're just talking about guys in training camp, and keep in mind, the Warriors could end up signing someone to that spot that's not currently with the Warriors in training camp, would be Caleb Wesson. He hasn't shown much yet, but just his pedigree coming out of Ohio State, he is a true stretch big.
Yeah.
Shot over 40% at Ohio State last year, has 3 years of college experience. I think I'd feel comfortable giving him that two-way, even if he didn't show me a ton in preseason.
I think you're right. It would not shock me if the Warriors went off the board here and went in another direction with that two-way, or just didn't fill it, you know, and maybe took some time to see what kind of happens with the G League or whatever. I thought it was a disappointing night from Jordan Poole after a good night. Again, it was just much of the same, and I understand that it's going to take a long time for this team to build chemistry.
They've only had 5 practices. Let's keep that in mind.
Absolutely, and not having Draymond Green is so huge. I know it's big on the defensive end, but I could argue it's almost bigger on offense not having him there, because I thought it was pretty telling that after having started Juan in the first half, Steve Kerr came out with Brad Wanamaker in the starting lineup in Juan's place in the second half. And Wanamaker didn't get off to a good start, and he actually put Nico Mannion in there.
Yeah,
the guy who currently occupies
that
other
two. Who had like a crazy plus minus tonight. I think he was like plus 13.
He was really good. I thought he gave them really good minutes, and all of a sudden he walks in and the offense opens up. And Steph Curry
was not good.
He was not. And Steph scores 11 points in that third quarter that took that 19 point deficit down to 7 by the end of that period. And I was really impressed with what Mannion did, but it was telling to me that Steve, after that first half, realized he needed another ball handler on the floor. Without Draymond Green being in the game or available, he needed another ball handler on the floor, and he tried it with Brad. reasonably so, and then he didn't get it there, and he did it with Mannion, and Mannion stepped up.
And here's the thing about Mannion. He was obviously a huge recruit in high school. I remember reading about Mannion when he was 15 years old, mm-hmm. freshman at Pinnacle High School in Phoenix. Our friend Chris Ballard from Sports Illustrated wrote this awesome in-depth piece about this prodigy 15-year-old, you know, what's going to happen to him, because he was already having viral videos and that sort of thing. And then he's a top recruit out of high school, goes to Arizona, supposed to kind of be the face of that program, and then doesn't shoot very well. And honestly, when you're a guard, potentially trying to go to the NBA, and you don't shoot very well, your stock plummets. And he went from a potential lottery pick to within a year going all the way to 48, late in the second round of the Warriors. And I think the thing about Nicole Mannion is he's a really good athlete, actually. He's really strong athletically. He sees the floor well. I think he's actually really steady for his age. He's a good passer, can facilitate.
Good instincts.
Plays hard defensively. So even if he takes a while for his shot to develop and get consistent from the field, he can still help you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good option as a third point guard.
I agree. And I think with how the season's going to play out, he's going to see some real time and you know, might be one of these guys by the end of the season that ends up somehow possibly on the 15-man roster if they need to go in that direction. But we'll get to the stat of the game next. But first, let's talk about headspace. Life can be stressful even under normal circumstances, but 2020 has challenged even the most difficult times of life. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes, and that's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is the one and only meditation app advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Are you overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. You need help falling asleep. Headspace has wind-down sessions that members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Connor, I don't know if you know this about me, but I actually downloaded Headspace like 3 years ago, and I still have it on my phone.
I know everything about you, Wes. I know that. I know about the morning pages. I know about the meditation.
I'm all about this mindfulness
stuff.
I've been
trying to dip into your playbook and incorporate some of that stuff into my routine, actually.
Right. Instead, you just drink my bourbon instead. But Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. You can't beat that free for an entire month. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for the weekly mailbag and Friday for my recap of the final game of the preseason. But Connor, the stat of the game to me is simple. It's 43. 43 three-pointers. The Warriors were slightly better than they were when they took 40 against Denver in the preseason opener. They made 13 of 43. It's 30.2%. It's not great, but I do like that they're letting it go from beyond the arc.
I do too. As long as Oubre and Wiggins can get that three-point percentage up. I think that is such an important stat to me this season. Is these are both guys who over their career have not shot better than 33% from three, and I think they need to get closer to 36, which was the league average last season, 35.8. And so if they can get around that, I think that'll pay dividends for this team, because yes, we know they're good in transition. Yes, we know that they can get out and run, but if they can be real threats from beyond the arc, that adds a whole nother dimension
right
to this team. And the spacing is just, it would be crazy. So that's so important.
Yeah, you mentioned they need to be by the average of 35.8%, which was last year. So yeah, you want them right around that 35-36%. I don't know exactly what they are in the preseason, but it's probably something like 12% each. It's not good. I think off the top of my head, I think they went like 3-for-12 in the opener. And tonight they were combined 2-for-8.
Yeah.
And so, you know, about the same amount of efficiency, but less volume. And I do wonder if that shot just wasn't there for them tonight, or maybe they were a little hesitant to shoot it. Most of their three-pointers came from Steph, who shot 13 threes, which if that were his average per game this season, that would be a career high.
Right.
And I think we could see that this year, all things considered, that considering how much Steve Kerr is encouraging the spacing this season and just the three-point shooting in general. And then they got 7 3-pointers combined from the center position. Marquese Chriss, 3 for 4. I mean, he was their second-best three-point shooter tonight.
It was
like
Marquese Chriss of the Phoenix days.
Except without an attitude. It was really interesting to see him do that and space the floor. I wrote this months ago that if you just kind of break down the numbers without Kevin Durant, this was not even factoring Klay Thompson with the Achilles tear. Right. I thought he would be back, obviously. That they were going to need three-point shooting from the center position. There was just no way around it. If they wanted to lift that quantity from they took the fifth fewest threes in the league last year to something near the top, which I said they need to be around 40. And so far in this preseason they've been at 40 and then 43. They needed to get contributions from the center position. That's why I thought they would go after Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, guys like that. They didn't. They drafted James Wiseman, but they were encouraging guys like Chris and Kevon and even Wiseman to, you've got the green light, go ahead and shoot it.
Yeah, and I respect that, but honestly, once we get into games that really matter, I'm wondering how much we're actually going to see.
I think we have to.
Really?
Where else is it coming from? We know it's not Draymond Green, and somebody in that front court has to space the
floor.
Because
Draymond will disagree with you, but...
Draymond will disagree with me, that's fine, but it's not going to be
that's
him.
That's been the single biggest issue in Draymond and Steve's relationship is Steve, who, by the way, is statistically the greatest three-point shooter in NBA history.
So he knows a little
percentage-wise,
bit
percentage-wise, yeah. Does not believe in Draymond as a three-point shooter. Draymond hates that so much. But hey, last season, how many times, even without Steph and Klay on the floor, were defenses sagging on him and he still couldn't hit him? So I'm with Steve on that one.
Everybody is. Yeah. All you have to do is look at the percentages. The one year that he shot 38% or whatever from three-point range is an anomaly. And it's this question about, hey, do you think that Draymond can ever get back to that? No, it was just this freak thing that happened in the greatest offense of all time where everybody ate. Everybody shot great that year, including Draymond Green. And so there was a little bit of magic happening that season, and it was a really entertaining season, but it's just never happening again. And that's why I think you saw last year they experiment with guys like Amari Spellman. And later in the season, Dragan Bender. There's an understanding organizationally that it's not going
to
be Draymond.
To me, that's why Wesson has a real shot to get that two-way.
Good point. Yeah. But as far as the other three-point shooting goes, I don't know where it comes from. It's why Michael Mulder, why we pencil him in to this 50-man roster, because they're going to need him. There's going to be nights where Kent Bazemore goes 1 for 6 from three-point range like he did, where Brad Wanamaker isn't really making much of an impact out there. And they say, you know what? We need Michael Mulder out there just for spacing. And there was a point tonight where Michael Mulder and Steph Curry were both on the floor together, and that's interesting to me.
Yeah, they had a couple of weird lineups tonight, and yeah. I'm wondering how much of that's just preseason and how much of that is actually trying to figure out who works well together. Not to talk too much about a guy who might be the 15th man on the roster, but Michael Mulder to me is a guy who has not shown what he can do at this level and could be someone who becomes far more than a 15th man. I think he could be a legitimate 9th, 8th man in this league. I think the thing that people don't realize about Michael Mulder is his measurables are incredible. He has, I think, around a 40-inch vertical. His hand size is akin to Kawhi Leonard's. His speed in terms of what he's done in cone drills and stuff is around the same as De'Aaron Fox. And he's a great three-point shooter. And he is a crazy good wingspan.
I feel like you just described the best player in the league.
No, I know. I know. And that in all those things together does not mean that he is the greatest player in the league. But it just means that, you know, there he has the physical tools.
Yeah.
You know, and that matters when you're talking about the NBA. I really believe, I tweeted this out tonight, I really believe if he had gone to a place like a Wichita State, and which he was recruited by out of JUCO, gone to a place like that and gotten to be the face of a program, he would have been a first-round pick. Whereas instead, he decided to go to Kentucky, where he knew he was going to be surrounded by NBA players and learn from the best. And he barely played. And so, of course, he didn't get drafted. But he is an NBA player in my mind.
How much of his problem is the fact that he's Canadian?
Not just Canadian. He's from Windsor, Ontario. Because if you, I know you pay attention to the league well enough to notice that almost every good Canadian player in the NBA is from Toronto.
That's right.
They're almost all from Toronto.
And
none are from Vancouver.
No.
Outside of this guy named Steve Nash. He's right. From Victoria. But none of them are from any of these other major cities in Canada. They're all from Toronto. Michael Mulder's from Windsor, which is a town of 200,000 people right across the Detroit, right across from Detroit on the river there. Not a single NBA player has ever played a regular season game from that town until Michael Mulder last season. These are the things that I'm weirdly obsessed with.
Jamal Murray is by far the best Canadian player in the league right now.
Yes.
It's not even close.
Who's second best? Wiggins?
It might be Wiggins. And third best might be Michael Mulder. So that's where we're at right now. Our Twitter question of the game is next. But first, let's talk about Built Go. Whether it's for your mental or your physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. These easy-to-carry 1.5-ounce packages are perfect to bring in your briefcase or in your gym bag. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy, but without that same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors. Peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. I like the peanut butter honey. I don't like the chocolate coconut. I'm just not a coconut person.
I love it, personally.
I'm not a coconut person. How does Built Go work? Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein, a fast-absorbing protein that promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. The stuff literally makes you feel better and look better. Here's the offer. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 30% off on your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. We're days away from the start of the NBA regular season, and this week the Locked On NBA podcast is previewing every team, division by division. Get intel on each team, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from our own Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get podcasts. After the game, I go to Twitter to answer a question about the game. So this one comes from MJZ, who writes in, "Do you still think Looney is the starting center?" Simple, straightforward question. But worthwhile.
Good question.
Yeah.
Good question.
Based on what he looked like tonight, I'd say he still has work to do to really earn that starting spot.
Yeah. This is also fresh off a game where he played horribly and Marquese Chris played great. So I personally went into training camps telling people, and I think saying on my podcast and writing, that I believed that if James Wiseman was not ready to start right away, that they should start Marquese Chris. I think
I was with you on that.
I think he's just smoother physically. I think he's stronger physically. He's faster laterally and he's better offensively. And so honestly, based off what we saw last season, for 100%, I felt like Marquese was the guy. I was impressed with what Kevon did in the preseason opener. If he can build off that, I can see keeping him in the starting lineup. But until he proves that he can deliver those types of performances on a regular basis, I would at least give Marquese a look. I do think that long-term, James Wiseman is the guy. Yeah. And I think that hopefully for the Warriors' sake, Wiseman is ready to be the guy at some point this season. I don't expect him, obviously, to start at center in the season opener next Tuesday, which might be his complete NBA debut, including the preseason. But, I personally like Marquese. I've always liked Marquese.
I think Marquese is a better player than Kevon Looney, and I really don't think it's close. I don't think that's like a hot take, you know what I mean? But to me, what's happening right now with starting center is not who the better player is in a vacuum. It's just what the situation is, right? And Steve Kerr has come out, and I've talked to 4 or 5 coaches over the last week or two, and they all say, like, the mission statement is clear. Be a top 10 defense. Like, that much is clear. The messaging is clear. Now, how do they get to that? Well, I guess you start your best defensive center, who is Kevon Looney, right? And then you want that second unit that's absent of Steph Curry to be able to get out and run, and Marquese Chris is the best player for that. So I suppose that Steve Kerr and is envisioning a second unit of Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre, and Marquise Chris just outrunning other teams, and that's how they're going to generate offense. So I get it from a matchup standpoint.
Let's be honest here, though. If let's say hypothetically Steve Kerr had decided to retire from coaching entering this season, and they got some other coach from another team to come in, Kevon would not be your starting center. Kevon is starting at center because Steve Kerr loves him. There's a personal connection there. There's a trust factor there, and that's I'm not trying to dismiss that. That's a real thing that matters in the NBA. That matters in all team sports.
Yeah,
but Kevon has been through the fires with this team, played in the finals, helped them in meaningful games,
and I think that stuff's important. That experience when you're playing with Steph, and by the way, Draymond Green's still not in there, and it's really really hard to judge this group defensively without their best defender.
Also offensively, because he's arguably their best passer.
He's the organizer. He is late career Ray Lewis with the Baltimore Ravens. That's his job. He puts everything in order. And there definitely seems to be a lack of order right now, defensively and offensively. And so it's hard to kind of get a complete viewpoint. And I think, going back to this question, if we think that Looney is the starting center, I think for now he is. Because Steve Kerr recognizes that too. It's hard to get a full picture of what this group is without Draymond in there. And until we all get that, you really can't make too much of a judgment. And there's really not – I don't think that having Marquise Chris in there instead of Looney would dramatically change what this team looks like. Or the outcome of the ceiling of this team, I should say.
You said earlier that you think Kevon's definitely a better player.
I think Marquise is the better player.
I meant to say Marquise. My apologies. Yeah. That Marquise is the better player. I think it's negligible, honestly. I think they're around the same.
Okay.
It's debatable. Like you said, Kevon's better defensively. Marquise is better offensively. But I think when you put all the sum of the parts, they're around the same caliber.
Yeah. I value...
When Kevon is fully healthy.
Fair. Yeah. I value offense more than I value defense. So that's kind of where I'm coming
defense at. Defense wins championships, bro.
All right, Bill Parcells. That'll do it for us today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thank you to Headspace and to Built Go for sponsoring the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Give Connor a follow if you're not already. Con_Cron on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. See you here tomorrow morning.